Before I get started, I'd like to recognize my distinguished colleagues who are joining me on this convention. Our local representation includes Manuel Trevino. He is our regional service center manager, and along with him is our sales manager, Jim Reynolds, if you haven't met those folks. We also have three people here from our corporate headquarters in Evansville. Mike Kasson, a well-known name in the industry, along with Ron Tenbarge. They are part of our global sales support business development group. And last but not least, Sean Ray. He is our program manager for excavators, which includes shovels, drag lines, and interestingly enough, a recent project was bringing life to an old bucket wheel excavator up in the Iron Range. A quite interesting project that you might want to talk to Sean about. But anyways, before I get started, I'd like to thank Steve for keeping this H&L convention alive. I know there's a lot of work involved, and I appreciate that. I always appreciate conventions like this to reacquaint myself with old friends, and I appreciate the efforts that are put forth to make this happen, including the supporters. Basically, what I'm going to discuss today is a shovel upgrade that we've done on a 4100 XPC. And my presentation is really going to be three parts. I'm going to give a brief overview of our company, Flanders. We used to be called Flanders Electric Motor Service. That's how our company got started back in 1947. But our company has changed. We are now developing very innovative products for the aftermarket to serve most of the surface mining equipment around the world. After the overview of Flanders, I'm going to move into a vision that our company has for innovative products, and it's called the Freedom Platform. And the Freedom Platform really goes across products, surface mining products, including various OEMs within those product groups. After we talk about the Freedom Vision, we're going to talk about specifically the shovel portion of that Freedom Vision, and more specifically, Level 3. Level 3, in a quick summary, is really three parts. It's new software on a mining shovel, designed by Flanders. It involves the application of a Flanders-built crowd motor, and it involves deploying adaptive control, or what we refer to as optimized bank penetration. Just a quick overview of the company. It was founded in 1947. We are a family-owned company for three generations. We have over 1 million square feet of repair office and inventory space, and we have over 800 employees working for our company. Our vision is to bring life and renewal to all we serve around the world, and I could cite many projects that we've been involved with that brought old, large capital surface machines back to life. I think Mike Kasson could probably speak to the best of that with the large drag lines that we've brought life and renewal through drag line moves and DC to AC upgrades. Very interesting products. Our footprint in the US, our headquarters is in Evansville, and we've got six service centers in the US, including Lakeland, Florida, Marion, Illinois, Casper, Wyoming, Bismarck, North Dakota, Longview, Texas, and Tucson, Arizona, where Manuel Trevino was taking the lead in our efforts on establishing a service center in Tucson. We also have field offices distributed around the U.S. Our international footprint looks like this. We have offices in Canada, Antofagasta, Chile, South Africa, and Queensland. We opened up a new shop in Brisbane. My first 2 years with Flanders were in Australia, thanks to Mike Kasson. Actually, Mike was instrumental in bringing me on board Flanders. And we've expanded our capacity in Australia significantly with the opening of a new shop in Brisbane. The industries that we serve, 58% more or less is in mining, and the other three sections of the pie are metals, utilities, and heavy industry. Annual sales over $150 million. We're really expanding our capabilities. Like I said, our company used to be called Flanders Electric Motor Service, and that's really the the building block of what started our company, repairing electric machines. And that still remains a significant part of our business. And I think we're one of the best in the world at it, quite honestly. Then in the 70s, we got into the systems integration business, where we started delving into drives and controls. And then in the 90s, through voice of customer, started developing new motors. And most recently, advanced technology products, and that's what I'm going to be talking about more specifically in the shovel space. I'm not going to talk about drills, but I'm going to mention that we do have drill aftermarket products called Aardvark, and basically it's an adaptation that we can put on a drill that we can operate up to four drills with one operator. And the other attributes of this Aardvark system is the control of fragmentation, as well as the data collection as the drill performs its operation, collecting that data and feeding it back to the mine to optimize how you load the hole with blasting material. I was fortunate to see the development of a rather technical Aardvark application in Australia on a Sandvik D90 drill. It was a multi-pass drill, and my background really isn't in the drill space, but seeing this machine operating fully autonomous was rather impressive. It's a very impressive technology. I'm not going to talk about drag lines because Mike Kasson is here, and if you have any questions on drag lines, please stop by the booth and talk to Mike Kasson. But we do have an array of products and services in repair, up to and including fully DC to AC upgrades, where we take all the DC gear off the drag line and put our Flanders designed and built control system and AC motors on a drag line. We did it on three units operating now in the U.S. Not going to talk too much about trucks, although we do have aftermarket products and services for trucks on the rotating equipment side of the business, up to and including a recent upgrade that we did on an 830E DC truck, where we took all the DC gear off, took the DC motor out, put an AC motor in, took the DC control box off, our Flanders designed and built AC control box, and now that machine has just recently passed validation and is now entering its reliability stage of operating and testing its reliability over time. We are going to talk about shovels, and we're going to talk a little bit about software, and we're going to talk a little bit about motors, about replacing cabinets when required if the cabinets are still oil-cooled on an old shovel. We're going to talk about what we're calling OBP, or adaptive control. And we also have an upgrade on a shovel called SureTrip, where we put a new dipper trip system on it with the Flanders designed and built AC induction motor with an AC controller. So what makes Flanders unique in the industry, and what was one of the main attributes that led me to come to work for Flanders, is that we are involved in increasing surface mining performance of surface mining equipment. And we provide system solutions, including motors, drives, and control systems. And the unique attribute here is across OEMs. We've served several OEMs in the drill space, at least four, three OEMs in the dragline space, two OEMs in the shovel space, and three OEMs in the truck space, and two OEMs in the shovel space. So we are very interested in serving all the products within a surface mine to fulfill the vision of what we're calling freedom. And this is the diagram. I could talk to this at length, but I'm not going to get too granular here. But this is the overall vision of the company. And basically what we want to do is, within all the surface mining equipment within a mine, give the capacity, regardless of OEM, to communicate up to a central depository, which we're calling Unity, which is basically a decision support system. And we're already on the track of doing that, I have to say. We're probably most advanced in the drill space from a fully autonomous system deployment, but we are working in the shovel space, haul truck space, and dragline space as we speak. But if you can imagine all these surface mining equipment being able to communicate to a central position, and then our ultimate goal is to optimize those assets. In other words, if you deployed autonomous operation to the drills, controlled your drill patterns and created fragmentation that you want to achieve to minimize abuse to the shovels and allow better fill factors to occur with your shovels loading your trucks, the throughput could increase. Another opportunity could be upgrading DC haul trucks to AC haul trucks if you want to increase the speed. In fact, the unit that we upgraded, the 1830E, we've increased the top speed from 30 miles an hour to 40 miles an hour with our AC upgrade. But what we're going to talk today is primarily in the shovel space. So our Shovel Freedom platform, I'm not going to go through all these levels because we have 7 levels in the digital world. And if it's an analog machine, we have also 7 equivalent upgrades if the machine starting point is an analog system. What I'm going to go over today is basically levels 1, 2, and 3 for a digital machine. Level 1, basically software. We're opening up the system, and when we put our software on the shovel, we give the end user the capacity to use either the OEM motors or our Flanders motors as an option. An attribute is we go to a single point hoist and crowd limit system, which makes it easier to set those hoist and crowd limits and reducing downtime to set those limits. We have an improved motion control as a result of that software upgrade by enhancing the current speed and EMF regulators, how they operate. And ultimately, it's an open architecture design software where there's no black boxes. We use the software that came from the OEM, and we stay within that world. That's just a picture from the HMI showing the limit screen. And basically, when you put the dipper in that position, bring the bale to the boom point shiv and bring the sticks out till it hits the greenhorn, set the brakes, push a button, the limits are set. The Freedom SE, I like to refer to as easy because our starting point is a digital machine. So we're basically upgrading the DCS 600 drives to DCS 800 drives in the ABB world. We're putting a new HMI in the machine and we're installing a new PLC program. What's the scope of work? This can be done in about 24 to 30 hours, and I think if there's some preparation, it can be done in less than 24 hours. But what it involves is removing the old DCS 600 armature cards from the armature frames and installing new field drives. We install a new PLC program, we put a new HMI on the machine, and we commission it. At the end of the day, this would be the starting point or level 1, which is called our Freedom platform. The Freedom SI, I like referred to as I, is more intense because our starting point is an analog machine. We need to take the control cabinet off the machine, we put a new control cabinet on, and we upgrade from the more obsolete analog control to a full digital control. And this would include the new control cabinet with the DCS 800 drives, PLC, RPC firing circuits, and new pulse transformers for the converters. Scope of work, this would approximately be a 5-day outage for the shovel to complete a Freedom SI. You've got to remove the control cabinet, install the new one, and again, the same thing with the SE, new HMI, commissioning, and in-bake testing. If you want to change from oil-cooled to air-cooled, the early P&H machines had oil-cooled for the thyristors, and it's an older system, and parts are becoming hard to come by. So if a customer is interested in upgrading from an oil-cooled system to an air-cooled system, we can upgrade those cabinets as well, which includes the converter section as well as the RPC switching section. Scope of supply. If we do an air SI with an air-cooled upgrade, we're talking about 14 to 15 days outage for the shovel. But at the end of the day, you're gone from oil-cooled to air-cooled, and you've gone from analog to a full digital control with Freedom as the platform. The applicable machines for Freedom SE are 4100 XPB non-Centurion and Centurion machines, 4100 XPCs, and 2800 XPBs and Cs. Freedom Level 2. The Level 2 introduces Flanders motor, more specifically a Flanders crowd motor. What does that get you? Well, the original crowd motor that was deployed on the 4100 had original settings, and those settings were reduced as a result of the limitations of that motor as the size of the 4100 grew. So what we did is we designed a motor that could really bring back those limits back, put it in the same footprint on the boom, and bring the machine back to the original OEM intent for that motion motor. It's a more reliable motor, and it's also interchangeable. You can take the K700B off and put our M21 motor on the machine. Here's a picture of the crowd motor. It allows for a higher stall current, which means more torque when combined with the Freedom SE. And from what we're seeing, it's a much more reliable motor. It's got more thermal reserve in it, a higher performance bearing, as well as a higher stall current capable of higher torque. We have an array of Flanders shovels motors for DC machines. I'm not going to go through all these, but basically we have replacement motors for hoist, crowd, swing, and propel motors on DC shovels. We also have replacement motors for AC shovel motors as well on Bucyrus Cat machines for, again, hoist, crowd, swing, and propel. Level three. Okay, so we've got the Freedom platform on the shovel. We put a new M21 crowd motor on the shovel. And now we're going to introduce what I like referring to as adaptive control or optimized bank performance. This is where the highly innovative application comes in. I have to give accolades to Rich Claxton. He's our PhD structural engineer out of Milwaukee. I worked with him for many years back in P&H. He joined Flanders, and he was instrumental in developing this, and we do have a patent on this system. But basically what it does, it allows us to enhance the productivity of the machine while staying within the OEM limits, mechanical limits of the machine. We're seeing reduced cycle times as the result of deployment of OBP, and basically we're giving it a hoist boost at a certain point in the dig cycle to optimize the performance of the machine. Mechanically and electrically, and I need to emphasize mechanical because we haven't been operating the machine long enough, but I can say with confidence that according to the end user, they're not seeing any additional maintenance costs as a result of this upgrade. And it's our belief that you're going to see reduced mechanical maintenance as a result of how this machine performs after adaptive control is applied to it. So why did we go about developing this adaptive control for a shovel? There are several people on the Flanders payroll that came from P&H. I happen to be one of them. But the mechanical design constraint of the machine is limited based on the worst tipping moment for the machine. And that occurs when the dipper is full, the sticks are fully extended, and you're hoisting through the bank. So you can imagine the tipping moment created as you're exerting that force on the bank. We want to eliminate that condition during loading conditions for the shovel. And by deploying a level three upgrade on the shovel, we think we're going to be nicer to the machine mechanically, and at the same time nicer to the machine electrically, and reduce cycle time all in the same package. So it allows for increased hoist rope tension during a portion of the dig cycle. It does incorporate the crowd force into the algorithm, because ultimately the digging force is a vector sum of hoist and crowd as the dipper is going through the bank. This results in increased digging power when the dipper is lower in the bank. And the interesting part of this upgrade is that it monitors boom structural response throughout the dig cycle. So we install strains transducers in the boom in the back leg of the gantry, and we sample real time what's happening with the mechanical structures on the machine to make sure we're not exceeding anything that would be seen under normal operating conditions with the OEM system. So we definitely want to stay within the conservative OEM structural loading envelope with the shovel. So where is it active? It's active in the lower portion of the bank. And basically what happens is, if the conditions are right, we've got our M21 crowd motor up here. We're giving a more force, crowd, and a 10% boost in hoist to get the dipper filled in a lower portion of the bank, not allowing the dipper to extend further out to get the dipper fill factor to its optimum level. Here are the parts of the OBP, and basically it's got a main CPU, which processes all the information. The input are the strain gauges from the boom in the back leg of the gantry, come into some remote I/O boxes, and that's fed to the main processor. Main processor is then connected to the PLC, and the main processor is also connected to the graphical user interface. And of course, there's our M21 crowd motor. Where are the sensors located? Well, here's a diagram showing exactly where they're located. You can see the cross-section of the upper boom where we have 6 strain transducers located. Lower portion of the boom cross-section, we have 4 strain transducers located. On the back leg of the gantry, we also have 4 strain transducers, 2 on the left leg and 2 on the right leg, front and back of each leg. Here's a closer look at the gantry tension legs. And here's the tension leg, here's the compression leg, here are the suspension cables coming out. Here's a close-up of exactly where they're located on the tension legs, front and back of each leg. And with the placement of these strain transducers, there's redundancy for all the transducers for each location. The OBP signal, what does this signal actually look like and when does it become active? Well, we're monitoring real-time the strain feedback from the boom and the back leg of the gantry. And we're looking at that signal. And this red line here is showing when the OBP signal is active or when we're allowing that extra 10% boost in hoist. And just wanted to show you real-time what that signal looks like. This is from 0 to 20 seconds, but you can see OBP became active here. It actually came down because of a strain reading extending the level that we want. It came down to about 80% and then came back up and remained up for about 8 seconds while that dipper's going through the bank. Talked about conservative deployment. What we do with the machine before we deploy OBP is we install the strain transducers on the machine and we monitor what's going on the machine for 30 days. After those 30 days, we come up with a distribution of what the machine looks like in terms of that data, and we do not deploy OBP when the strain becomes above 85% of what was measured empirically over those 30 days. So we will never give that extra 10% boost if we ever get out of that 85% zone, which was measured real time on the machine. So again, we're calling that conservative deployment of OBP. Another interesting thing to note, that the rule of thumb is 90% of the damage is done by 10% of the loads. So again, if we're anywhere near this higher portion of reading of strain, we will not deploy OBP. This is the best analogy I can say for what OBP is. And here's a shovel operator, and he's using his tricep to get that first dig in there. And that's analogous to our M21 crowd motor, giving a little extra power for the crowd. And his biceps are really the hoist. But if you, one of the things I don't like about it is his fill factor isn't too good there on the shovel. So I think we could deploy OBP with him. But the point here is I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. If you've ever shoveled snow, I've pulled my back out a few times because I have a big shovel and I push it all the way to the end and then I lift it up and then I dump it. and I can feel that in my back. Well, in a mining shovel, if you extend that stick and you try to load it out that way, that force is reflected back through all the mechanical parts of the machine. And you can feel it. I'm sure the center gudgeon feels it. I'm sure the revolving frame feels it, down to the car body, down to the side frames and the crawler shoes and even the link pins, if you're creating that tipping moment. We don't want that worst case condition to occur, so we want to give a little extra power, low in the bank with extra power in the crowd, and with OBP a 10% boost in hoist, keep that radius close to the machine, and just keep digging. So that's the best analogy I could give for what OBP is. It wants to keep that power close to the machine and increase that fill factor. We are monitoring the strain feedback real time. We're sampling at 10 milliseconds. In fact, that 10 millisecond sampling is dummied down from 2 kilohertz sampling, which is every 500 microseconds. We're looking at real-time strain in the boom and in the back leg. So we're looking at that strain real time. And again, conservative deployment, we're never going to get close to deploying OBP if that strain is anywhere near, or I should say above, 85% of what was measured on the machine empirically. We do have structural people on board our team, and traditionally our company has been known for its electrical expertise, but I can guarantee you we've got a lot of mechanical expertise on board our team as well. And this is basically an FEA model of the 4100 XPC boom developed from field measurements that have been taken from interior and exterior portions of the boom. Just a quick summary of the deployment of level 3 and what the hardware looks like. Here's the profile of a 4100 XPC. Again, here's the cross-section of the upper part of the boom. We've got strain gauges. We've got a remote I.O. box here. Mounted in the upper section, in the lower section, strain gauges on the back leg of the gantry, and here's our brain box with our M21 crowd motor. So that's basically the hardware in a nutshell that gets deployed. The results for the level 3 upgrade. We've worked with a technology partners of ours, Cloud Peak Energy, and I believe there's two people here from Cloud Peak Energy, and thank you very much for allowing us to partner with you and develop this upgrade. The first step in deploying the upgrade on the first shovel was actually just putting an M21 crowd motor on and leaving the OEM software. And we saw a productivity increase of 6% just by changing the crowd motor. We then put the Freedom system on and measured productivity, and we got it up to 10%. We then changed the settings on the M21 crowd motor to reflect our Flanders setting, that extended range, because of the M21's capability of operating at the OEM original settings, and we saw a 17% increase in productivity. And finally, with OBP and level 3, with the adaptive control, we were looking at above 24% increase in productivity, and that productivity metric was tons per second as designed by the end user. They mandated what that metric was, and that's what we used to determine productivity pre-upgrade and post-upgrade. So that's a significant increase in the capacity of the machine to produce. Our Freedom installed base, we've installed Freedom upgrades on machines as old as 1975 up to machines of 2008 vintage, and we've done 10 upgrades. Four SI and air-cooled upgrades for 2300 Mark II machines, one 2300 XPA upgrade, which was an SI and converter cabinet RPC upgrade. We've done two SI and air-cooled upgrades for 2300 Mark II oil-cooled machines, and we've also done a 2300 XPA upgrade. Last but not least, we've done not one 4100 XPC, but two 4100 XPC upgrades for Cloud Peak Energy, and both those machines are running very well. Might also say, before we entered the Freedom platform, we were doing upgrades, and those upgrades were called PPDD machines, and actually, Manuel Trevino played a very important role in deploying those upgrades converting analog to digital upgrades, and there's quite a few of those machines in this area. We're still waiting to do an upgrade in copper, so I think with Manuel here and his team, we'd really like to get a Freedom upgrade on a shovel in copper. We haven't seen it yet. All our upgrades are in coal. I'm not going to go through this in depth, but we do have a method to our madness regarding how we develop technology for each one of our products, and this is called our shovel technology roadmap. You can see the items in green are items that we had planned to do, and they're already done, starting with the PPDD, our Freedom platform, development of motors, the integration of the M21 crowd motor, our SureTrip product launch. The ones in blue are ones that we're working on right now. Shovel production monitoring, as well as an enhanced graphical user interface. We've already done the coordinated motion control, or OBP. The ones in red, we've got our target on, developing in the near future. And the ones in black, we're going to be developing in the future. The ultimate goal, I should say, the ultimate technology, you know, might be fully automating the shovel as an end of the road optimization. That's just a picture of the Freedom HMI showing the deck layout of a 4100 XPC. And I think that's it for me. Do we have any questions? That makes my job easy. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. Great presentation.
Thanks.